Proverbs 21, chapter 13 text 24. Arvinirsishodatascha.
Arvinirsishodatascha.
Kavatascha dushita.
Kavatascha dushita.
Kritam shetram dhananyesham.
Kritam shetram dhananyesham.
Tatateya shubhikiya.
Tatateya shubhikiya.
Arvinirsishodatascha. Agni, fire, Nishrista, set, Dataha, given, Cha, and Garaha, poison, Daraha, married wife, Cha, and Jusita, insulted, Ritam, usurped, Shekham, kingdom. Dhanam, wealth. Yesham, of those. Tat, there. Datai, given by. Asubhi, subsisting. Kiyat, is unnecessary. Translation. There is no need to live educated life and subsist on the charge of those whom you try to kill by arson and poison. You often insulted one of their wives and usurped their kingdom and wealth. Purport. The system of Vanashram religion sets aside a part of one's life completely for the purpose of self-realization and attainment of salvation in the human form of life. That is a routine division of life. But persons like Dhritarashtra, even at their weary ripened age, want to stay home, even in a degraded condition of accepting charity from enemies. Yudhira wanted to point this out and impress upon him that it was better to die like his son than accept such humiliating charity. 5,000 years ago there was one Dhritarashtra, but at the present moment there are Dhritarashtras in every home. Politicians especially do not retire from political activities unless they are degraded by the cruel hand of death or killed by some opposing element. To stick to family life to the end of one's human life is the grossest type of degradation, and there is an absolute need for the Vidurans to educate such Dhritarashtras even at the present moment. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Dhinashalakaya Chakshram Minitamena Tasmai Shri Jai Shri Krishna Jai Kanya Pramu Nishyamanta Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhakta Vinda.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So we're continuing with the chapter, Vidura instructing his brother Dhritarashtra. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is showing the importance of the human form of life. Prabhupada stresses that one need not stay in family life for one's entire duration of life, that one has to seek out self-realization and perfect their life. So one's life is actually, even according to the Vanashram Institution, one's life is meant for serious deliberation. Life is meant for serious things. That is why we have the Vedic aphorism, Tato Brahma Jigyasa, that now that you've become a human being, that you've come to this form of a human, one has to inquire into the nature of the Absolute Truth, and one has to seek out such association. So, this human form of life is specifically special because we can engage all our senses and perfect our existence. Unlike the other species of life, we have, according to the Vedas, we have 8.4 million different species of life. And only after gradual elevation to this human platform can one actually make this inquiry, and one can utilize their senses in serving Krishna. So Vidura is pointing this out to Dhritarashtra, because we know Dhritarashtra was blind not only materially but also spiritually, that he was tied by the bonds of affection. He was tied to his sons, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. So he was encouraging their materialistic consciousness and their bodily consciousness. So this bodily consciousness is explained by Vidura, how it is entrapping, how it blinds one's real vision of what the goal of life is. But Prabhupada mentions how at the present moment, we have so many Dhritarashtras, not that we have so many kings or we have so many persons called Dhritarashtra, but we have so many persons with this type of mentality who are just attached to the bodily designation and who are attached to material comfort, who are attached to being in this material world. So Prabhupada explains that this material world is not fit for any gentle man or gentle lady. So there's no such thing as survival of the fittest for this world. It is not fit for anyone's survival. No matter how much we try to make material existence comfortable, it will never be comfortable because it is not the natural scenery of the living entity. Just as a fish outside of water, it is unnatural. So the living entity, although seemingly somehow we are enjoying the material body, the senses, we know with different types of species, the animal species, they have one particular sense that they enjoy. You know, whether it's the pigeons, the dogs, the lions, you know, their sense of hearing is so strong, their sense of, you know, the tongue is very strong, or the genitals are very strong. So they have one specific powerful sense. But the human body, all the senses are extremely powerful. I mean, the tongue is the most ferocious, as explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But all the senses are actually so entrapping to material existence. Therefore, the process of bhakti engages one's body, one's gross and subtle body, in the fire of purification. So, material existence is shown by the personality of Dhritarashtra being attached to material situation, the body, extensions of the body, society, community, nation, this ism, that ism, etc. So this is never actually going to take one out of the cycle of birth and death. So it should be a lesson for us that actually no matter how comfortable or no matter how much we have good karma, if we have, you know, as Queen Kunti explains, Janmaishwarya Shrita Shribi Indamana Madapuram Naiva Hatyari Daktum Vaitram Akinchana Gocharam, that persons who are actually have high parentage, people who are born in very, very cultured families, who have good education, who have beauty, they cannot actually with a sincere heart approach Krishna. It is difficult because there is some pride there that yes, I have this opulence. But the living entity can't actually, the living entity does not know how to deal with opulences without connecting it to Krishna. So you know Krishna is full in opulences, Sarasvaya Purnam. So whether it is wealth, whether it's beauty, knowledge, or renunciation, the living entity has minute quantities of those. But the only person who actually knows how to deal with such opulences is Krishna. When people in this world think that they have great wealth or great beauty, they get bewildered. They do not know what to do with themselves. They start nipping and tucking and trying to extend their beauty, or they try to show off their renunciation, etc. And then over time, of course, it diminishes. So it is very uncomfortable, as you might see with the tabloids or the celebrity magazines. You see that there's paparazzi, right? And they're always trying to capture their beauty. Whether they're in the toilet, whether they're in the bathroom, or on their wedding day, or they're drinking some water, or they're combing their hair. So they're always trying to capture that. And it is very frustrating for the living entity when that happens. So they sue, they have 12 bodyguards around them. They do not know how to deal with what comes with such wealth and beauty. But if you look at Krishna, who is always surrounded by his associates, his devotees, who is unlimitedly beautiful, you can stare at Krishna and Krishna doesn't get uncomfortable. But in this mature world, if you try and look at someone, if you try and have someone's darshan, they might sue you. Or it gets very uncomfortable. They actually don't know how to deal with these opulences because they're not meant for us. They are Krishna's opulences. And by Krishna's mercy, the jiva, he gets a tiny fraction of Krishna's qualities. So only Krishna can actually manifest all these opulences in full. But when the living entity is bewildered by his false designation, he thinks, yes, I can enjoy these opulences, then we see the difficulty. So this is the problem given here in Dhritarashtra's case. He was trying to enjoy different types of opulences separate from Krishna, but they have led to nothing but dissatisfaction. His sons are not there. He has lost the kingdom. One thing that, you know, really made him aspire for existence has been taken away by the cruel hands of time. That is none other than Krishna. Krishna comes as time to show his potency that you cannot escape. No matter how much wealth, how much opulence, how much beauty, how much knowledge, how much renunciation, fame, whatever, you cannot escape the hands of time in a world of duality. As Prabhupada would say, do not think death will not happen to you. This is Krishna coming as time. Now Krishna here is coming as Mahatma Vidura to remind Dhritarashtra, you are old. Right? I'm old, you're old, we're all old. We do not know when time is going to come and take everything away. So he's instructing him, do not waste time. There's no time to waste. We have to realize that actually we have, as Prabhupada would say, do your business and go. That there's actually, we don't have much time left. We might be in our 20s, we might be in our teens, maybe we're not even adolescents yet, we might be 40, 50, it doesn't matter. We actually don't have much time left. So it's imperative that we hear the instructions of the great souls of the Mahatmas, like Bhishma Deva was given, and now Vidura is giving. And we hear from Vidura because Vidura is one of the Mahajans. Just like Sukadeva Goswami, just like Narada Muni. He's one of the Mahajans. He's appearing here to facilitate Krishna's Leela. Therefore we hear from him because he's none other than Yamaraj. He wanted to serve Krishna in a more pleasant way. He does a very difficult service of serving Krishna by punishing those who have led sinful lives. But in this lifetime, Yamaraj is coming in the body of Vidura. And there's another lesson that the Acharyas are showing, that it doesn't matter what type of birth one comes from. Lord Chaitanya also stated this. Whether you're a Brahmana, you're a sannyasi, you're a Shudra, it doesn't matter. But if you know the science of the absolute truth, if you have transcendental knowledge, you can instruct others. So Vidura, although born of a Shudra mother, his transcendental knowledge is intact, because knowledge travels with the soul. And the more we expose ourselves to the process of pure bhakti, the more we are in knowledge. It says that one who knows Krishna knows everything. So the nature of material existence, spiritual knowledge that is revealed to the devotee through the mercy of the spiritual master. So according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, bhakti has nothing to do with the external body. It has nothing to do with material designation. It is truly on the spiritual platform. It is Krishna's higher energy. Therefore, one who is conversant in transcendental knowledge can actually, or the sense of God, whether he be a Brahmin or a Shudra or a Sannyasi, he can actually become spiritual master. And this is shown by the life and the personality of Vidura. And not only was Vidura Yamaraj, but he's a Mahajan, he's a great authority. And in our line, there's a lot of emphasis on following the Guru Parampara. And Swami Vanayaro Shambhu, Kamadro Kasino Mani, Parado Janako, Pima Pali Vair Saki Vayam. Now we follow these personalities that have been given in the Bhagavatam as they are given the instructions on the absolute truth. So without actually following great authorities, whatever action one performs in this material world, it is a sinful activity because it is not in connection with Krishna. So there is no doubt, because when one acts without knowledge of Krishna, it is for the self. So it is sense gratification. It is lust. It carries away a man's intelligence. So this mentality, this consciousness, is become perverted in the mind, in the body, and in the senses of the conditioned soul, who are part and parcel of Krishna. So the on the practical spiritual life, we perform activities and our actions are transformed to bhakti. So it might be from an external point of view, we're doing the same things. We're eating, we're drinking, we're sleeping, we're mating, but it is Krishna as the center. It is all for the pleasure of Krishna. So it actually, it has nothing to do with the externals. It is the motive behind the action. In that way, this mature world, the devotee seems to be inactive because the devotee is not involved in seemingly mundane activities, but it is always for the pleasure of Krishna. So Vidura is stressing very much this point of family attachment, that the whole world, the entire economic system is actually based on a family attachment. No one will, everyone is working to try to get some enumeration so that they can go on expanding the family, expanding your wealth, expanding your name, expanding your prestige. So the entire economic system is based on that. What type of name and fame are we going to get by introducing this firm, by these multinational corporations, etc.? This is why people name these things after themselves. But why name something Forbes or, you know, Montano or Foster's? It is after someone, so it is meant to gratify the senses of that personality. So in this way, the living entity is trying to progress and is trying to expand his family. Grows and subtle. It starts with, you know, immediate family, then, you know, it goes to the community, society, nation, etc. So this family attachment, it is seen as the topmost rasa in existence. That is what life is about. You work hard day and night just to enjoy with your family. Now Prabhupada gives a very interesting analogy. He explains that, you know, sex life to the dog and to the man or to the demigod, it's all the same. The pleasure is the same. And Prabhupada says, there's no difference if you drink milk on a golden pot or an iron pot. The taste is the same. If the animals are having sex on the street, the human beings do it on a bed. The pleasure is the same. It comes and goes. So it's actually the same thing. There is no big difference whether it's from an iron or a golden pot. So this is material existence, whether you're in Brahmaloka or whether you're on this earth planet. There's birth and death. This is material existence. Prabhupada explains that there's so much attachment to this body conception of life because one is thinking we are going to be united by this relationship, by this association. And the more we do this, the better our name will be, the better our prestige or the better our existence will be. So it keeps expanding and it keeps modifying. And Prabhupada would explain that the problem with the Westerners is that they like changing. So okay, personality X has this type of lifestyle, will manufacture ours in a different way to make it look different, to make it look a bit youthful. But it is all the same, it is chewing that which has already been chewed. So it is a futile attempt to try and perfect material existence because you can't perfect material existence. You cannot be happy in this material world. It is always flickering. Just like, you know, you see in the city, Mumbai parade, there's float after float after float. Material existence is like one body after another, one body after another. Happiness, distress, happiness, distress, happiness, distress. This is material existence. But we take it so seriously because it looks different all the time. In this lifetime, I'm in an African body, exotic. Next lifetime, I'll be in an American body, even better, and then an Indian body, and this and that. It is all the same as a material body. There's nothing great about it. So Vidura is really hammering this attachment to the body because it is based on illusion. There's no such thing as I'm eternally black, I'm eternally white, I eternally have blue eyes. There's no such thing. It is based on ignorance. So ignorance is not bliss. And it is being sung in the spiritual world. There's no such thing. So in human form of life, which is what we have, there's two things that have been that are required in human life, and that is Gyan and Vairagya. This is explained in the sixth text of the Madhya Lila. Jnana Vairagya Vidya Nida Bhakti Yoga Shankartha Mikha Parno Purusha Purana Purusha Purana. So we have to develop this Jnana Vairagya. We develop Jnana Vairagya in the association of devotees and by cultivating transcendental knowledge. So the more we develop our taste for Krishna, the more we can detach ourselves from worldly affairs. We have to develop a higher taste, otherwise it is not possible to give up the inferior taste, as Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita. We have to taste some other type of pleasure for us to give up so-called bodily pleasure. And unless we taste that, it will not be possible for us to permanently situate ourselves in Krishna consciousness. If we still think that there is some hope in material existence, we can't actually dive into the Bhakti Vasamita Sindhu. Can't. So we have to understand the strictness of this instruction and not be afraid to also share it, because sometimes we might think we should be positive about this world. We're just always negative all the time, you know, it's Kali Yuga, you know, it's madness, illusion, you know, people are mentally deranged and there's no good quality, you guys are so negative, let's be positive, let's give up positive energy, etc., etc. And that is it, we don't have to be like negative all the time, but we really have to see this energy for what it is. It is bewildering. But we have to understand that this material world is not fit for existence at all. So we have to do our business and get out. Actually, we have to really come to that realization that there is no time to waste. As Vidura is coming back to Vidura and saying, listen, there is no time to waste. Leave and go to the forest now. You are old. We are all old. My death is just waiting. Any minute. We don't know when. But it is there. So we have to act immediately. We can't waste time and think maybe when I'm older, when my kids are grown up, or when I have my eyesight back, etc. But we have to actually act immediately. Krishna consciousness cannot wait. And Bhaktisiddhanta said it cannot wait. You want to independence from India? Well, independence, that's not necessary. Take Lord Chaitanya's mission, that is necessary. That is the real benefit in human society. So as it mentions here that in the purport that, you know, a certain section of one's life should be dedicated to self-realization and attainment of the real self. A certain portion of a tremendous portion of one's life should be dedicated to that. We maintain ourselves, yes, but the primary focus of our life should be to reawaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. Everything else is actually secondary. And by understanding and by focusing really on this primary factor, it will be easier for us to deal with these secondary issues. So if we understand Aham Brahmasmi, if we understand that I'm Mama Ishvamsha Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that I'm an, you know, infinitesimal part of the Supreme Whole, that my happiness lies in the happiness of the Absolute Person, therefore my actions are going to be one pointed towards His pleasure. That the pleasure and the happiness of the living entity lies in satisfying first the senses of the Absolute, and then automatically we will also become satisfied. Now this is the mythism of devotional service, that our happiness actually lies in serving Krishna. Not that we put ourselves first and then we go to Krishna. Because natural existence teaches us to put ourselves first. That you be the achiever, you be the one, you know, the number one, the this, the that. But we understand that actually in spiritual life, because we are nothing without Krishna. Krishna is the soul of the living entities. So everything, actually, our existence is based on Krishna. Therefore, our happiness will only come from putting His pleasure first. So we see this in different pastimes, in the pastime of Mother Yashoda and Krishna, in the pastime of the gopis and Krishna, wherein when Uddhava goes and delivers the message, the way the gopis are speaking, they're not speaking in the sense of wanting to enjoy Krishna themselves, because they know Krishna is ultimately pleased by them only, then Krishna should come back, otherwise Krishna can't be happy. They're not thinking, I won't be happy. They're lamenting, Krishna won't be as happy. Therefore, please, Uddhava, bring Krishna back. Because we know how to satisfy Krishna. That is their focus. Their focus is pleasing Krishna. And therefore, that is why they are the most exalted. They are the most exalted in terms of their bhakti. So our service attitude, our service mood should always have Krishna at the center. Because that is what will satisfy the soul. Nothing else will satisfy the living entity eternally. So the Nura is time and time again reminding Dhritarashtra of this Vairagya Vidya, or this family attachment, that we have to become detached. At a certain point in our life, there's attachment and there's detachment. We see this as well in the pastime of Kadama Muni and Devahuti. And that's a part of the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada explains, that this is instructive to all ashrams, whether it's brahmachari, grihastha, sannyas, vanaprastha. There's a time where there's a certain type of attachment, not only to wife, children, family, but also how we fix ourselves with the orders of Guru. And it's explaining how you know, the brahmacharis can learn that they make, you know, their focus, their entire life, the mission of the Guru becomes their mission as well. and that the wife makes the mission of her husband her mission in service to Krishna. That the Vanaprastha detaches himself and becomes fearless and understands that Krishna is one's protector, Krishna is one's maintainer, that no one else can maintain, protect, and give pleasure other than Krishna. Therefore, they detach themselves from everything and they accept those things favorable to their devotional service and they reject that which is unfavorable and they fully surrender to the Lord in all humility. And of course, the sannyasi, by the strong quality of becoming fearless, they just travel and serve Krishna. So all these instructions by these great souls in this pastime, it has been given to show us that we do not waste time in our practice of bhakti, that we go with a one-pointed fixedness, we go with the desire to please and to serve Krishna. And the more we serve Krishna, the more we develop an attachment for service to Him, an attachment to associating with His devotees, and we detach ourselves from material existence. But it happens naturally. You do not have to seek out detachment separately or attachment. Just by practicing devotional service properly, as given by the orders of Guru, one gradually becomes detached from this material world. So Prabhupada gives an instruction that there is so much need for the viduras in this world to go and instruct the Dhritarashtras. So we have to show by example what this Krishna conscious life is about. We have to show in society how it is possible to live a life of controlled senses and a life of glorifying Krishna. And when people see that, they will also follow. They will also see that there is a positive alternative. So there are so many personalities who are materially and spiritually blind in this world because they have no knowledge of what life is about, especially what human life is about. So, Vidura is seen as a Mahatma, as a great devotee of Krishna, coming to deliver personalities who are mature and spiritually blind. So, Srila Prabhupada is also a very great Mahatma, and he's given us so much instructions on how to perfect our Krishna consciousness and how to preach this Krishna consciousness in such a way that we will attract the society at large. And once they see the positive alternative, then they will wake up from their spiritually blind situation. So we'll hear later on in the week about how we can develop more of this jnana and vairagya in Krishna consciousness and perfect our existence. Hare Krishna, any comments or questions? Okay. So one who knows Krishna knows everything and he sees everything as it is. Meaning in the study of the personality of Krishna, like we sing Namam Ishvaram Sachidananda Rupam. So we start understanding how Krishna is the Ishvara, he's the supreme controller. And from a personality being a supreme controller, we start understanding all his various energies, his personality, his shakti, his material and spiritual potencies. So when it says one who knows Krishna knows everything, we actually know how every type of energy is working under Krishna's sanction. So that's why in the Bhagavatam we start hearing very early in the beginning cantos, matters of creation, matters about time, the living entity, different planetary systems, etc., before we even delve into the personality of Krishna. So we start learning about everything in the phenomenal world. We start learning about all the material facets, all the different material types of existence. And then we also taught about the spiritual dynamics. So when you know Krishna, you know all these different elements of his existence. So not just about his pastimes, but about his energies as well. So when you know Krishna in full, you understand his all-pervasive nature. You understand his Paramatma feature, and you also understand that he is Bhagavan, Purushottama. So by knowing Krishna, everything is included, material and spiritual. Is that satisfactory? Satisfactory for me?
We have knowledge, because we read so many books, we listen to a lot of people, and we have all this knowledge. How do we turn that knowledge into realization?
How you transform jnana into vijnana? By a constant practice of devotional service. And one thing that you know you learn in Bhakti Shastri as a student or as a teacher, you learn there's one aim which is called an objective aim, Shastra Chakshush. That is you take what you learn from Shastra and you try and see it. And so whether you're on a tram and you're walking outside, you see a tree, you see a pigeon, two pigeons on a branch, or you see the sun, you see the moon, you start thinking, how can this relate to Krishna? Like Prabhupada would often do this on a morning walk. He'd stop somewhere and then he'd point out to the devotees a tree. And then he'd ask them, what do you see? And your devotees start thinking, oh, it's a tree, it's like material existence, you don't know where it begins. Your devotees start thinking so many different things. And then Prabhupada would, you know, he would give the essence of what he's seeing in a very spiritual way. So in Krishna consciousness, when you take that knowledge and you put it into application, and gradually through getting purification, you get to realize what you're studying. You get to realize, you get to see what it is Prabhupada is explaining in his books. So the more you actually do service, you cultivate knowledge, then you practically go and apply it. These realizations will come over time. When Krishna sees that we're qualified, he reveals all that knowledge. He manifests the knowledge within the heart. So by constant hearing, service to Krishna, and association of serious devotees, we get realizations. So it's not just dry book knowledge. Oh, I read the Bhagavatam 15 times. And what are you doing with that knowledge? You have to give it out as well. Then it becomes real. Okay.
One more thing. Preaching.
Yes. Don't just keep it to yourself. Don't become a kripana. Don't become miserly and just keep Krishna for yourself. It's just me and Krishna. That is Kanista mentality. By preaching, Lord Chaitanya says you have to, you know, wherever you are, wherever you go, you tell someone about Krishna. So you have to preach. And preaching doesn't mean that you just do book distribution. Or you sit and give a lecture. Wherever you are, you educate people about Krishna. Prasadam, Harinam, you give Krishna. And by doing that, you get realizations.
I just wanted to add something to
distribution. One of my friends in Auckland, she was doing book distribution and she met this person who was from India, very, very, you know, materially together and qualified one degree after another. And he was trying to show him so many books. I think his name is Bal Gopal. I think it was him. And he was showing him life comes from life. And this person is thinking, no, I have this PhD, I'm a chemist, I'm this, I'm that. And then he just asked him, this person asked the devotee, so, you know, what's the origin of everything? Where does life come from? And then this devotee who didn't really do much higher education just said, no, life comes from life. And that person just, at that moment, he said he just got so smashed from that simple statement by this devotee. Now he's a full-time devotee. So, it, like you were saying, a devotee knows just what Krishna requires him to know. So we don't necessarily have to know the ins and outs of Microsoft or this tech or that tech. We know that which we need to get out and to survive in this material world. That is the best type of knowledge. You can have degree after degree, but what's it going to do when you die? Nothing. So Krishna gives you what you need to get out. Thank you. Thank you. Grant Rajma Bhagavatam. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.